out, no deduction. Reby the Red at 15. Royal Jackpot with the nasal strip on today as a $12 chance. And good support for the bottom one here in High Opinion. $8 on opening. And now that was, well, Ascot Red was a 50-1 chance. By last night, it was into $6.50. It went back up $5.50 this morning. It is now the $4.20 favourite. Double the amount of investment on its nearest rival, which is New Tipperary.
Yeah, decent speed here. Bantles likes to lead, as does Reby the Red. So they'll bring the pace across from out wide. And we've got Shalmaneser and Power of Patch kicking up off better gates to make them do a bit of work. So 1,600 metres, a genuine tempo. Most runners to get their chance, right?
And an open race here, I thought, boys. And I thought number three, New Tipperary, was worth a gamble each way. He resumed at Rose Hill on September 28. It was a nice run. He was getting home quite well to finish seventh, about 3.5 lengths behind Morton's Fork. That was a strong form race. He'll improve off that significantly. He's unbeaten second up, and he goes to 1,600 metres, which is ideal for him. Second up last prep, he won at 1,580 at Canterbury. So jumping straight to the 1,600, no issue. And I think New Tipperary around the $7 mark is worth a gamble. Two Montauk, he's been a costly horse through his career, but that was a solid first up running that Rose Hill race behind Morton's Fork. He finished in front of New Tipperary there, and he'll run a race here. Number nine, Reby the Red. Terrific first up run last week at Warwick Farm, and he was at a mile. He nearly held off Minor Freckia, so he'll improve off that Reby the Red, and as Paul suggested, likely to lead here and give them something to chase. And number seven, Tatush, his two runs back have been stolen. He's ready to fire now and also appreciates getting out to 1,600. Plenty of chances in race seven, three New Tipperary each way from 2, 9 and seven.
Yeah, I'm with the money horse here, 11. I've gone 11, 3, 4 and 5, High Opinion, with Chris Lees. I thought that first up run here at Warwick Farm was terrific. Went a long way back from a wide gate, but absolutely flew late. And about 100 metres after the line, you could see him still running away from them. I thought it was a terrific run. Wanted to back him second up when he got up in trip, and here he is at the mile off a perfect gate. Karen McAvoy takes the reins, and this horse performs best on top of the ground. All four career victories have been on good track. So no surprise the money's come for him. We'll get a good guide on the form too, because Galaxy Warrior, the horse he ran 6-2 first up, would have already gone around earlier. So plenty to like about the 11. New Tipperary race top pick. I've got it as the clear danger here. 2 from 2 second up, and went terrific first up behind Morton's Fork. Number 4, Zorkan, has a bit of form behind New Tipperary last prep. So I think if you like New Tipperary, you've got to throw Zorkan in. And my best roughie is the 5, Shalmaneser. Just didn't get much room there first up. He could definitely improve if he goes forward in the run. 11 on top from 3, 4, 5.
Darren Flindell is all over New Tipperary. Makes it his best bet of the day, Ray. So 3 on top to beat 2, 5 and 11. 3, 2, 5 and 11 in race 7. And the last at Warwick. Sorry, Glenn.
I've got the 5 in there. Adam Pengelly tipped it as his best roughie all day last night, Shalmaneser. Darren's got it in. Paul's got it in. I just missed Jules' tip, Ray. Did you
know Shalmaneser
in anywhere?
No.
Yeah. It was just interesting that, you know.
But don't be put off by that.
No. There's 3 out of 4 is not bad to find a 20-1 chance.
Yeah, exactly. So do include it by the sounds of that. All right, Glenn, the marker for the last, the Tab Rewards.
Yes, and let's hope the boys are rewarded here for Jack getting this race right. Because Agent's a $61 chance. Yuma Desert's at $5.50. Ziggy Willie's out the deduction, 2 cents a win and 2 cents a place. Grand Condor, there'll be a big busload coming down from Newcastle to watch it today, $21. Untamed Diamond came out yesterday, 2 cents a win and 3 cents a place. Petrosian, which is Rod Gallegos' special, at $21. First Hand at $3.80. Cosmic Cameo is out, came out this morning, 3 cents a win and 3 cents a place. Kentucky Misses, $3.80. Upscale is $3.20 and favourite. Fates Encore at $6.50, and the roughie is Schumann at $61. Well, all the way through, except this morning, the best supported runner here has been First Hand. He's $3.80 unchanged today after as much as $6 was bet about it. That was in a full field, though. Was into $4.20 last night. Went up $3.80 this morning. Been $3.80 all the way through the morning. Upscale went up $3.80 this morning. Is now $3.20 favourite. And that has caused a Kentucky Miss to get out from, went $3.50 to $3.80. Opened $3.60 this morning and has got back to $3.80. Well, really, First Hand has got double the amount of investment on it than what Upscale has, and a long third pick is Yuma Desert.
Yeah, look, it's an interesting one speed-wise because all of these favoured runners generally go forward. So we've got First Hand, Kentucky Miss, Upscale, all drawn off the track. Grand Condor kicking through, and then the others that have drawn close to the inside but race forward include Yuma Desert, Fates Encore. So 1,100 metres, it probably won't matter that they go quick, Ray, but it does look as though they'll really fly along.
Yeah, terrific race, isn't it, Paul? I'm pretty sure we're talking about the same five horses here. Yuma Desert, First Hand, Kentucky Miss, Upscale and Base Encore. Trying to squeeze five into four, can't go, so it's a tough race, but I was taken by Upscale's first up win at Warwick Farm, resuming off a 50-week break, and she was dominant, beating Super Maxi and Pound Sterling. Super Maxi's since won again. He's been in great form right through the winter into the spring, so Upscale can only improve off that. I take your point, Paul. She's a little awkwardly drawn, but I think she's a high-class mare. Seven First Hand, he's unbeaten in two starts. The Hawks stable have always had an opinion of him, and his recent Randwick trial, you won't see a better trial. He has come back in terrific order. He's drawn outside Upscale, and that's the only reason I've gone Upscale over First Hand. Yuma Desert, very good first up behind Surplash, can only improve off that, and as Paul suggested, we'll get the lovely run, as will number one, Faith Encore, who defeated Dixie Chick at Warwick Farm 2 weeks back, and she's drawn to get the perfect run. I've left out Kentucky Miss, who comes off the stakes win, Paul, but it's such a deep race, this last race. Looking forward to a 10-up scale from 7, 2 and 11.
Yeah, well, we'll throw the 9 in for your fifth pick, Ray, because Bensley was very generous, gave us 5, and I need them here. I've gone 11, 2, 9, 10, and 7. So they're the same numbers to round out the quaddy. Look, I've gone with Faith Encore mainly because of the barrier draw. She's drawn the best out of the main hope, so she should be able to trail the speed. And also, she's a 3-year-old filly taking on the older horses, which seems to be working very well at the moment. Yuma Desert, the stable mate, she's also going to get a lovely run. She's had 10 starts, only missed a place once. The 9, Kentucky Miss, well, she's run third in a Sandor Menico behind Star Turn and then come out and won a stakes race at Flemington, and we're struggling to find a spot for in a midweeker at Warwick Farm. It's quite amazing, the depth of this race. Upscale, lightly raced with a stack of ability, just got to get past the tricky draw, as does First Hand, who's undefeated from two starts, and I couldn't find him in my top four. So 11, 2, 9, 10 and 7, boys. That is the race of the day.
Righto. Can't wait for it. Let's hope we're alive and getting it. In the last, Darren Flindell likes 2 to be 10, 11 and 7. 2, 10, 11 and 7. Ray, what's your best for Warwick Farm today?
Yeah, race 2, number 4, Palladian Andrew, and each way race 7, number 3, New Tipperary.
Righto. 2, 4 and 7, 3 is each way. Good luck today, mate.
Thanks so much, Andrew.
Ray Thomas there. What about you, Paul?
Yeah, I'm keen on race 7, number 11, High Opinion, the horse that's been very heavily backed in the Chris Lee stable. So I think you'll get the run of the race. Race 7 at number 11, High Opinion.
Good on you, Paul. Good luck today.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Paul Joyce and Ray Thomas. Darren Flindell's best is race 7, number 3, New Tipperary. Race 7, number 3. Darren will join us at 10 to 11 with his own preview for Warwick Farm. We're going to head to the newsroom and then we'll be back with Tab Talk. We'll talk NBL, lots of racing interviews as well.
It's 10:08. Good morning. I'm Gemma Cutting. Former Sydney Cricket and Sports Ground Trust employee Scott Henderson, who was the first person to call 000 after Philip Hughes was struck by a short ball, will today give evidence at the Sydney inquest. Cricket New South Wales and SCG staff will also front the hearing. The mining union fears a new wave of black lung cases after the first diagnosis in a coal miner who only worked above ground. A 55-year-old Queensland man worked above ground in 3 decades as an open-cut miner. And Haiti is facing a humanitarian tragedy, with the United Nations revealing 1.4 million people need immediate help after Hurricane Matthew. The country's already fragile water and sanitation structures have been severely impacted, which has meant the absence of drinking water and high level of infections. In sport, Australia sits second in their World Cup qualifying group after 4 games following a 1-1 draw with Japan last night. Matthew Sparanovic admits Japan's suffocating defensive style took them by surprise. They next play Thailand away on November 15. Saudi Arabia defeated the UAE 3-0 this morning. Former Wallaby back rower Scott Higginbotham has reportedly signed a 3-year deal with the Queensland Reds, which will take effect at the conclusion of his current deal with Japan's NEC Green Rockets early next year. The Parramatta Eels have signed former Titans outside back Josh Hoffman to a 3-year deal, and Diamonds coach Lisa Alexander predicts the Silver Ferns will hit back hard start in the second match of the Constellation Cup in Tasmania tonight. This is Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
When it comes to the big stories, Sky Sports Radio brings you the crucial news as it breaks.
So today, you know, I can announce that the greyhound industry will be given that one last chance. It'll be given an opportunity to reform as it needs to. Listening to the feedback and on reflection, we did not give the good people in the industry a chance to respond, a chance to reform.
Whenever racing has a story to tell, we're there to tell it. Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Ricebury.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
Will is the favourite for the first at Ruakaka.
Out wide began quickly. Going with it, Contessa Vanessa, and right there also Summer Monsoon, and working through on the inside is Melody Bell. Two lengths away now, Contessa Vanessa, just racing a little bit awkwardly there. From on the inside of it, Compadre, then Inanna. And as you will, is back in the tail of the field, one of the favourites as they come towards the corner. 500 metres left to go. The pacemaker, Melody Bell from Summer Monsoon. Out wide, a Bombard. Contessa Vanessa gets the gap, one off the rail. Down the extreme outsiders, as you will, then Inanna and the Compadre. Down to the 250 they come. It's Melody Bell, the leader. Summer Monsoon, and coming after them, Contessa Vanessa. Out wide, we've got Bombard, as you will, in the late run, Inanna. But it's Melody Bell at the 100 metres. Summer Monsoon's trying hard, a late run, Inanna. But Melody Bell jumped out, led all the way with its ears pricked at the line, too. Melody Bell won it. Summer Monsoon second, Inanna third. And then Contessa Vanessa, who raced a little bit greenly throughout. Back in behind those next then came Bombard, followed over by As You Will, and back with them also was Compadre.
And the winner there, number 7, Melody Bell, 4.10 and 1.70. Second went to number 4, Summer Monsoon at $5.60, and no third for number 6, Inanna. That's the first at Ruakaka.
Receive a bonus Bingley gift card worth 10% of your purchase when you buy a selected built-in oven, fridge, dishwasher, washer or dryer at Bingley.
That's a great domestic deal.
Did you just make that up?
Yes.
Domestic deal?
Yes.
Mum, all this month get your best domestic deal on a selected built-in oven, fridge, dishwasher, washer or dryer and receive a bonus 10% Bingley gift card.
It's a great deal.
And there's a great deal more in store.
Terms and conditions apply. See bingley.com.au for details.
Luna Park's magical Big Top Christmas Ball is back.
Saturday, December 17th.
This all-inclusive evening event is ideal for small businesses looking for a five-star dining Christmas experience. Top entertainment is guaranteed on the night with MC Justin Karcher, DJ Ash and party band Let's Groove Tonight. And plenty of great prizes to be won. Spots are strictly limited. Book now at lunaparkvenues.com. Proud sponsor of Camp Quality.
They're off. Gates open. They're off and racing.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk.
One of the legends of the sport creates a little bit of magic at the mountain.
There it is. Adam Scott. A life changer.
It's the first time he's finished about a GP in Phillip Island.
The very latest in racing and sport from around the country. Welcome to Tab Talk.
It is the Wednesday edition of Tab Talk. Lots of horse trainers coming up. Greg Bennett, Toby Edmonds, Adrian Bott, Chris Lees, all joining us over the next half an hour with Glenn Munsey from tab.com.au. Morning again, Glenn.
Morning, Andrew. How are you holding up?
Yeah, I'm well. You're okay. You got a sore throat, but you're getting through. We're about to talk NBL. Just a quick one. The Matador one-day series continues at Des Moines Oval in about 15 minutes. This game is on Gem if you want to watch it through the day. New South Wales versus South Australia. Our good buddy from Tab Talk, Trent Copeland, is playing. He's a New South Wales $1.45, South Australia $2.75.
What happened to his commentary career?
Yeah,
it lasts very long.
Well, he preferred to play, and that's what he's doing today. So we'll keep an eye on the scores, and the markets are there with tab.com.au for the Matador one-day series between New South Wales and South Australia out at Drummoyne Oval today. Well, who do we normally have on NBL?
Well, we normally have the absolute El Supremo of the NBL, Andrew and Jeremy Lollijam. So, but I'd say he could be travelling the world, as he's done over the last 12 months, securing television rights for the NBL. He successfully negotiated some vision into China.
Yep.
And, well,
let's not build him up too far. If he's not listening, we don't want to build him up too far.
No, but what he's done, Andrew, he's passed the baton on for a week, and
yes,
the pressure is enormous.
It is, and we've got Tommy Greer, who used to be a famous basketball player. Now he's with the media department at NBL. Morning to you, Tommy.
Morning, boys. I tell you, I wasn't nervous until that little intro.
Yeah, well,
absolutely shaking in my boots.
Tommy, the buzz is about to sound. You're on the free throw line. You need it to take it into OT.
Well, let me tell you, I was always rubbish in those situations, so let's hope something's changed finishing my playing career.
Now, in 15 seconds, tell us the Tommy Greer NBL story.
The Tommy Greer NBL story. Oh, one club player. All for the Melbourne Tigers, finished up the same season that the Tigers did, and they switched over to United.
Yep.
A few years captain in the club, a couple of championships, so decent little innings.
Yeah, well, you know what you're talking about. The one thing that excited me about the NBL on round one last weekend, every game I saw, it was going down to the wire. It was so exciting to see it back.
It really was, and like it was reflected by the crowd. Our crowd just during round one beat anything we did during the regular season last year. So they absolutely came in droves to check out the hoops this year.
Is that, Tommy, it must be heartening to see that. Of course, we spoke to Jeremy basically every week last year, and he had a lot of vision, you know, not only, you know, vision as in what he wanted to see, but, you know, the app was up and running. He's now showing it to China.
You've
now
NBL got TV.
NBL TV, where you can watch, you can actually structure it to watch your own team.
Yep, any team, anywhere, that's the whole sort of philosophy, and you can log on and, you know, download the app, watch your team for free. So you can sign up and watch your team for free through that. So it's just amazing. It's so accessible now. It's crazy to think, you know, back when I was playing sort of 5-6 years ago, even in that short period, how far it's come.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Did we learn anything spectacular out of round one?
I think we learned that Brisbane's no joke. So
it's just like putting on the old comfortable shoes again.
Yeah, I know. They've just bounced right back into the league. They've gone 2-0, taking care of the defending champs, the Perth Wildcats, in their season opener at Boondall in packed house out there. And then fronted up Saturday night against the Sydney Kings, who are sort of touted to be finalists as well this year, and took care of business again. So I think that anyone who was sleeping on Brisbane because they're, you know, first season back, might want to rethink things. Mm,
another massive start to the year for the Illawarra Hawks. Gee, I don't think anyone expected that easy a win.
No, absolutely. They're always a surprise packet, the Illawarra Hawks, and it's a credit to Rob Beveridge, head coach out there. You know, one of the community clubs still in the league. But always a tough team, and they started the season exceptionally well, obviously. They got who they got? They got the Derby this week up against Sydney, first game on Thursday night. I'll be looking for them to come away with another win.
Okay, well, does that place pressure on Gaze, or is it too early to say that, given that how close it was for the Kings last weekend?
Yeah, look, I think it's probably a little bit too early for the talk of a bit of pressure on Drury, but They were decent, the Kings, in their first game against Brisbane. I mean, they didn't get across the line, but they didn't look too bad. They got a lot of star power on that team. They're running a really complicated offense, which is the shuffle. You know, those who know basketball will be aware of that system. And it just takes a little while for the team to sort of to work it out and be able to pick their spots. And I think that the second half of the season, Sydney Kings, will be a really different sort of picture.
Okay. Well, the market's telling you Illawarra won't going to have a great deal of trouble with Sydney. They play at the Mini Entertainment Centre tomorrow night. They're $1.55 there. Sydney Kings are $2.45, and the Kings get 4.5 start.
We'll get this one. Rob Beveridge, coach of the Illawarra Hawks, coached 14 straight wins against the Sydney Kings. So if anyone's going to get it done, he'll be the man.
Righto, so that's Illawarra in Sydney. What else from week one goes into week two for you? Are you looking forward to seeing another team after what you've seen in week one?
Well, I'm actually looking forward to seeing how Melbourne United bounce back. They were the bookies' favourite to win the championship this year. They've started 0-2, dropped to a team on Sunday, the Adelaide 36ers, who I sort of had, you know, bringing up the rear of the competition this year. So, big questions being asked at Melbourne United. They've got Adelaide again on Friday night. So really interested to see how they bounce back.
Yeah, we have to say our boys hasn't put a great deal of credence into round one because, as you said, Melbourne United, 0-2, they're 375 favourites for the title. Sydney Kings, 0-1, went down to Brisbane. Second picks at $4.50. Well, the perennial finalists, Perth Wildcats, leave them out at you. Whether 3,000 seasons in a row they've made the finals.
30 seasons in a row, I think. Yeah.
They're a $5 chance. Well, they haven't overreacted to Illawarra's big win against Adelaide. They're still $6.50 chance. And, Brisbane Bullets, 2-0. And they're still a $7.50 chance. So I think if we put the markets up before round one, we wouldn't have had Brisbane the favourites over Adelaide. I can guarantee you that going into round two, which will be on Sunday night. But Brisbane will go into this game now as the $1.43 favourites and Adelaide at $2.85. And as I said, if you said that to someone before round one, they'd sit you down on the lounge and get the bloke with the white coat.
They would. But, like we were sort of mentioning before, the Bullets have just come out and sort of shocked the world a little bit. I was sort of expecting a bit of teething, you know, some teething issues for the boys. It's not an easy job to build a club from scratch, basically. I know they've got a lot of history up there with the Brisbane Bullets, but in terms of, like, the infrastructure and setting up of the team and all of the stuff that goes along with that, just been a monumental effort by the crew up there to get this thing up and running so well.
Some of the other games there,
let's get his tips. Let's put him right under the pump here. So, Illawarra and Sydney tomorrow, you're going for Illawarra?
Got to go with the Hawks. They look fantastic in round one. Rob Beveridge has just got the wood over Sydney completely, so I think that the Hawks are coming away with that one.
Okay. Right, Adelaide and Melbourne, in a double-header weekend for Adelaide. This is a Friday night. Adelaide Outsiders, $2.15, Melbourne $1.70.
And look, there's really no call for the 36ers to be the outsider on this one. They took care of business at Hysense against Melbourne. They're going back home. They did it, in pretty comfortable fashion for the majority of the game until down the stretch. So, look, I think Adelaide should probably be the favourites in this one. I think that they'll probably come away with the win.
Is that an overreaction to week one and that loss?
Maybe potentially, but this 36ers team, they're a young team. Joey Wright is known around the league as a real players coach, and he's got a young team that he can sort of mould a little bit. And when he gets into them and sort of gets them fired up for games like this, I reckon they're going to be tough to beat. They're a real running, athletic, sort of dynamic squad. I think that causes a few issues for Melbourne.
Okay. Righto, toughest road trip in the league. Friday night, New Zealand travel to Perth. Perth $1.35, New Zealand at $3.20, and their body clock will be telling them they're going on the court at nearly midnight.
That's true. Obviously a grand final replay as well, this one. And look, I think that the travel definitely plays a factor in this one. The Wildcats are so tough to beat at home. The Red Army always come in very strong for matches like this. 13,000 people will pack out the stands. And add to the fact that Sean Redditch, who's sort of the spiritual leader over there in Western Australia for the Wildcats, it's his 350th game, so I think that the Wildcats will get up and get this one done for him.
Righto, Kudos Bank Arena on Saturday evening, the Sydney Kings 140 up against the Cairns Taipans at $3.
Alright, this one might build a little bit of pressure because I'm going to go with the Taipans on this one, taking care of Andrew Gaze and the Sydney Kings. I just don't think they're quite there yet, the Kings, and Cairns were very unlucky in their match over in Perth during round one, going down in overtime to the Wildcats. So I think they'll go just that one step better, the Taipans, this week and get the job done against Sydney.
Okay, second of a double-heading weekend for both sides on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at Hysense Arena. Melbourne $1.40, Illawarra $3 outsiders.
Well, look, I'm going with the Hawks on this one as well. I'm going with a few travelling teams throughout the round. I just think the Hawks look so good, so... they just had the chemistry there in round one, something that Melbourne didn't really show any of in both of their performances during round one. So I just think they're more prepared early on in the season, and I think they'll come away with this one.
Okay, to complete the round on Sunday, that is at the Brisbane Convention Centre, and that is at 6 o'clock. That would probably be
their
Brisbane
time,
so yeah. That'll be 7 o'clock our time. It is Brisbane at home to Adelaide here. Brisbane 143, Adelaide 285. As we spoke before, you wouldn't have thought that happened before round one.
No, that's right. And this one's a real clash of styles. The 36ers, like I was mentioning, a real sort of run-and-gun team. They're going to try and put a lot of points on the board pretty quickly. Whereas Brisbane got a loaded front court. They're one of the biggest teams in the league this year, and they're going to try and slow it up, mix it up, play a lot of zone defences. And I just think the age and the maturity of this Brisbane Bullets team is going to be enough to get the job done against the young Adelaide 36ers.
All right, so it's Illawarra. This is in games order. Illawarra, Adelaide, Perth, Cairns, Hawks and Brisbane.
There's your multi. Lock it in.
Multi, 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 Glenn Munsey. He knows all the betting talk yeah. here at tab.com.au.
Am I allowed to say that?
I tell you what, you jag it, you'll be a multi.
Yeah, you will be, you will be. Hey, great to have you on, Tommy. I know Jeremy will be probably back next week because he'll be afraid of just how well you've gone doing the spot this morning. Appreciate your time. Good luck with the NBL, and all of it can be seen by going to nbl.com.au, and all the markets are with Tab. Thanks a lot, Tommy.
Thanks, guys.
Tommy Greer there from the media department at the National Basketball League, and the first of the weekend's action tomorrow night, Illawarra and Sydney starting at 7:30. That'll be seen on Fox as well. Well, let's go and talk about Caulfield today. Glenn Munsey are here on Tab Talk. We've got Clearly Innocent for our good friend Greg Bennett lining up in the seventh race. Morning to you, Greg.
Morning, Andrew.
And Munz is here as well, mate.
How are you, Munz?
Very good, thank you, mate. Now, just how many horses have you taken to Melbourne over your career?
Zero, zilch, none, nothing.
Do you know where you're going?
Well,
we're staying there,
I've been following Mick Price around this morning, and he's led me to a really good cafe down here, and we're having a coffee at the moment, so all good. So, no, I've got plenty of help down here, guys. It's been wonderful.
Is it a learning curve for you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I dipped my toe in the water, as you know, a couple of years ago, and went up to Queensland for a little bit, and sort of getting away out of New South Wales and getting out of the bush racing and whatever. But so, but yes, it is a learning curve coming down here. I'm excited. It's great. I'm really looking forward to it.
Now the horse has been there for over a week. How's he settled in, and the preparation for this with Tommy Berry on today?
You know, he has settled in well. He lightened off quite a bit with the two truck trips from Scone to Sydney and then all night down to Melbourne. He lost a bit of weight, but we weighed him this morning and he's put on 10 kilos since he trialled here last Tuesday. So he's enjoyed his week here. He's done enough work. I mean, he was fit enough to race on Premier Stakes Day and then we changed plans. So we haven't had to overdo him down here to keep his fitness level right. And the fact that he's put on 10 kilos again has been wonderful.
He's never been a big gross type of horse, though, and so, is he a day-to-day sort of thing, lightening off like that? Because I know when he came to town, sort of his second time he came to town, he'd lightened off an enormous amount from, I think, the first day he came to Randwick, the second day he went to Rose Hill.
Yeah, no, look, it is something I've got to continually work on. He is a big horse, tall, lanky, long horse, you know, a bit typical of a lot of the Zabils, but yes, he's not gross. He never has been. Look, even when he came back from his little holiday in Queensland, he did do well up there, but he never beefed up to the stage that I probably wanted him to. But I think, Munz, what we've got is what we see is what we've got, and we've just got to deal with it. He's never going to be a massive, big, strong, over-muscled horse. He's just he's the shape he is, and I don't think we're going to be able to change that.
We had Mark Hunter on earlier, the form analyst that does the Melbourne form with us, and he was saying that the tempo in the race doesn't appear strong. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, it does, and that's what I've spoken to the owners this morning, and I haven't had a chance to talk to Tommy in the last 24 hours, but I'd like to be, four or five lengths off and sort of mid-race and and be keeping ourselves in touch, because we don't want it to turn into a dead set sit and sprint, because if they get away on him on the turn, then it's going to be all bets are off. So we need to be handy without being too boisterous early, because that's, as you all know, that's not the way we've been riding the horse. And but look, one turn, there's a long straight run to the turn at Caulfield. Mm. There's plenty of time and room for him to be patient, I think, and then have a last shot at him, as long as we keep ourselves in touch.
You're close enough.
Yeah,
yep.
So that 8 alley's not a big concern to him, because he's a horse that sort of, you know, seems to be best when he's given a bit of room. So he might be able to still truck up into this 3 or 4 off the fence anyway.
That's about exactly where I've got him, Muns. You know, 3 or 4 off. Even if he's got a roll to be 5 wide on the turn, they're going to fan on the turn anyway. And we might even be able to, you know, replicate. I think it might have been Hellbent when he went down here a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, just sit in behind him, and when they spread, you know, look for that run up the middle of the track. We don't want to be overly cute and look for the sneaky runs up the inside, I don't think. But again, I'll discuss that with Tommy this afternoon. But I think if we can just keep him rolling and go through his gears and get momentum up, you know, there's going to be no excuse. If we get beaten by the locals, well, there's no excuse that they're just better on the day and better luck in running. But as far as the horse personally, I think I've got him 100% right for this race today.
Okay, well, that sounds perfect, mate. We wish you the best from everyone back listening to us this morning out at Scone. We hope he runs really well for Tommy. Yeah, we know how good he can be with that turn of speed. I hope he lives right up to it.
Well, I think, I'm sure, Andrew, that's right, and it'll top him off nicely for Oaks Day in a couple of weeks over the 1400.
Yep, appreciate it.
Have we got a new hat to get ready for today?
No, Buns, I did bring the Old Faithful down, but I tell you what, I was going up the stairs onto the plane at Newcastle, and they nearly weren't going to let me on, mate, but I wore it down, and I've got it here, and it'll be on show at Caulfield at 5:00, mate.
Okay, now, the pressure is on you. You went off early in this interview. Is Mick Price still with you?
No, he's actually he's on the phone talking to somebody far more important than me.
Mate, you enjoyed today. I hope it's a really good one for all concerned.
No, it's great. And thanks for all your support.
No, good luck, mate.
Thank you.
Greg Bennett there, the trainer of Clearly Innocent, lining up in the 7th race at Caulfield today. Back with more interviews after...